Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with Dale Tempest from Sky Bet. Morning, Dale.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good stuff. Let's talk about Theo Walcott. £20 million. Is he still in his prime? In fact, are these his prime years? 28 years old.
I'm not sure prime years. He seems to be around forever, doesn't he? There's certain players who break into the sort of Premier League scene at 17, 18, as he did. And, yeah, they just seem like they've been around. But time-wise, he's spent on the pitch. His goals are fantastic. But he just, as you sort of alluded to there, he's just got a problem keeping fit. A bit like Jack Wiltshire, you know, playing some great football at the moment. But it's probably the best run he's had for quite a while. Walcott needs to get back to doing exactly that.
He just wants to play consistently, doesn't he? But where does he play? Does he play in a front three, a front two? I think his personal preference is a front two, isn't it?
Well, I think he's always said, even when he was at Arsenal, he thought he was a centre forward. But I have to say, I've never thought of him as a centre-forward. Mm. The one thing, he came on against Bournemouth the other day, and you could just see he was working, Bournemouth were trying to push up, he's quick, you know, he still has that electric pace. And that's what Sam's looking for, because we've discussed it from the start of the season, no pace in the side. And that's the one box that gets massively ticked when Walcott arrives.
It looks like Everton have done well with this deal. Wenger perhaps never quite develop the player, is it? Is that fair enough? Never put him in the right direction?
It's a difficult one. You could say that probably about most of the Arsenal squad. You know, I watched Arsenal on Sunday at Bournemouth, and they are going nowhere fast. You know, you take Sanchez, Ozil, the Arsenal 2-2 against Chelsea. Sanchez and Ozil were outstanding in that game. Jack Wiltshire was outstanding. All three players coming to the ends of their contracts. And you've got the young lad Iwobi, who's been a star sort of junior football, trying to break in. He's out on the town two nights before FA Cup tie, gets away with, you know, stuff like that. It seems like the Arsenal camp, I've said it for years, it's the emperor with no clothes there. There's nobody in the club who really is going to risk their job and their livelihood by telling Wenger a few home truths. When he mentioned the other day that all the progress the club had made and the share price from when he took over, you sort of go, oh, that's not what you need to be saying. You know, that's not what fans want to hear, that the share price is up from 400 quid to 18,000 a share or whatever. So I think Arsenal is 7-1 for a top four spot, which tells you everything you need to know.
A club with maybe a little bit of no direction at the moment. What do you think were the ultimate factors for Theo Walcott? What was he looking at when he was making this decision to move to Goodison Park?
Well, I think, you know, he's not been able to break back into the Arsenal side. And Wenger doesn't see him as, you know, a staple of the team. And he's got to get away. I think another huge thing is respect. And so many young players have respect for Sam Allardyce. We talked about it before. You know, when he went to Sunderland, Sam knew exactly the players he needed to improve the squad that he had to get better results. Quite simple, quite straightforward. And Walcott's the first signing. We'll have to see how the lad from, is it Sheffield Tonk, is it?
Jenk Tosun,
that's him.
Yeah.
Because that's another player who's going to be fascinating to see how he develops. But the two areas that needed strengthening have been sorted straight away. But you see last week at Tottenham, you know, there's a huge gulf, isn't there, between some of the best top six sides when they're on it. And then the teams who are fighting for seventh and better, there is a gulf there. And as I say, Everton has to bridge that and start sort of stabilising and moving up and starting beating teams like Tottenham.
The Blues just need a left back now. Right, one of the other big deals happening at the moment is Alexis Sanchez. The figures that go around this are absolutely mind-blowing. £117 million in wages will go to the striker. £35 million transfer valuation. £10 million goes to his agent. That's all right, isn't it? £20 million as a signing-on payment as well. He's on £500,000 a week, basically. He's 29 years old. And only a couple of months ago, he was going to the neighbours, the noisy neighbours. But look what United have done. Have they tried to make a statement here?
No, I think it's Mourinho being Mourinho. He knows his team are massively sort of underperforming whilst they're sat there in sort of joint second. and they need something else. The one thing, Sanchez brings energy, brings enthusiasm. You know, whenever you've seen him play in Arsenal, particularly last season, you know, he was the standout figure, not particularly for his skill, although he's massively skillful, just a permanent bundle of energy, a pest. You're playing against him, you just never get a breather. And I think that's been lacking in the United side. So, yeah, you can see that. But this is what happens when players' contracts run down. You know, it's a real conundrum for clubs to balance up giving players longer-term contracts and allowing them to get closer to that period where they become free agents and they pretty much pick their own salaries, don't they? Yeah, Arsenal get, what, 50 million or something. I think Mkhitaryan's going the other way, isn't he?
Which has a question mark against it, really, doesn't it, in terms of he is a quality player. He's obviously brilliant, but he's never done it for Manchester United. Will he struggle the same way for Arsenal?
I think in the Arsenal side at the moment he might, but I think he'll get loved, shall we say, at Arsenal. You know, he'll get respected, he'll get an arm round him. Mourinho's very much in your face. You know, he didn't like him from day one. He's played him wide. You know, anybody who watched Mkhitaryan in the Bundesliga, you know, he was the best number 10 in that league by a country mile. And, of course, then he came to United, he was always on the fringe. He'd play him down the channels, almost down the right-hand or left-hand side. And when he did play, remember his Scorpion goal last year? You know, we've almost forgotten about that. He was outstanding for a couple of games. He was their most creative player. So I think it's a good move for him. Get away from Old Trafford. But this is what Mourinho does. You know, once he falls out with players, he alienates them from his team or his squad. There's nowhere to go. You might as well move on.
I heard Phil Neville talking yesterday about the Sanchez signing, and Phil was saying that he thought Mourinho was slightly concerned about the way Liverpool had picked up the pace in terms of chasing down maybe the second and third spot in the Premier League. And Liverpool have made significant strides this season. And Phil Neville was saying he felt that maybe Mourinho had looked at the situation and thought, I need to do something big. I need to make sure Manchester United have still got that extra edge or are still the second best team.
Well, I think when he says Liverpool made massive strides, we've yet to see that. You know, because let's be fair, Liverpool defensively have still been as bad as they've ever been this year, up to the point they've signed 75 million Van Dijk. Let's see what happens then. Yeah, I think the thing with United and the Sanchez, they went into this season really with Lukaku. And of course, the hope that Ibrahimovic was going to come back, and the quickest ever return from a cruciate ligament injury. you know, and at our age, mid-30s, it's tough to come back. we found out there they need another centre-forward. And, of course, Martial and Rashford, they haven't had that consistent quality that Mourinho's after. He's looking... What's fascinating, that top four spot, you know, Mourinho could be... Tottenham are flying at the moment. Liverpool, as you say, great win the other day. Forget about the two late goals, but that was just typical of what Liverpool do. Chelsea, they're stumbling along. You know, Conte keeps on. They need reinforcements. It's tough this time of year. You look at the amount of games played in the Premier League and all the other cups. Then you go down the leagues in Europe and look how many games they've played up to this point. You know, it's a significant about 10 or a dozen less. So the players are, you know, Hazard looked tired the other day for Chelsea. And a lot of the star, the quality players do that. But it's dig-in time. You know, don't lose. Don't lose goals. Don't concede silly things. Keep winning. Just get your head down and keep driving. That's what the Premier League squads would have to do. City, I mean, I think it's good it's finished as the run. They probably could have done with it finishing at Palace because they can get back to playing. But I have to say, you know, I watched that game. De Bruyne, he was outstanding in the game. But you take De Bruyne out of it, you know, no silver in there. And it was just lacking with the City squad. It looked tired, and it's looked tired for weeks. Fascinating time. City are going to win the title. We all know that. But that top four, who is going to miss that? Forget Arsenal, they're sevens for a top four. United 1-8, Chelsea 1-4, 1-5, Liverpool, Tottenham at even money, 3 points behind. That's going to be the fascinating race from now at the end of the season.
And just finally, a very quick one on the transfer window. Daniel Sturridge, a name that's being bandied around a lot this morning and linked with Inter Milan. Do your odds suggest that Daniel is reaching the end of his Liverpool days?
They certainly do, yes. 1-3 into Milan. I mean, it's easier to go stay or leave. So he's 1-4 to leave, 11-4 to stay. And then we've got the clubs, the individual clubs, and Inter are 1-3. So that looks like, you know, it's going to happen. It makes sense that he moves on. Danny Ings, that's another Liverpool player there. He's 4-9 to be staying, 13-8 leave. But that could be a loan move, you know, just get him out playing football. So, yeah, they're the only two, really. Mahrez, you know, sort of talk of he could be the Coutinho replacement, but nothing in the prices. He's 1-3 stay at Leicester at the moment, 9-4 leave, and Arsenal are favourites ahead of Liverpool to get his signature. But outside of that, pretty quiet on the transfer front.
Nice one, Dale. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Take care, mate.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.